ever looked at mythology. It's an eye-opener to study mythology. I'm sure you've all heard of creatures such as Zeus. It's quite a story that goes along with the mythology, the mythological figure of Zeus. How he came into existence. The miraculous way that he came into existence, maybe, would be a better way of saying it. Jupiter, not the planet that we think of, but there's a host of names in the mythological world. There's a whole bunch of them. But I believe that we are wrapped up in the Christian world in what one writer has said to be the myth of the tolerant God. In 2005, Dean Walt wrote an article in the God's Revivalist by that title. The Myth of the Tolerant God. To take the word tolerant, look it up in the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, you'll find that it basically means inclined to recognize and respect the beliefs, practices, or traits of others, or forbearing. Tolerate the opinions and behaviors. It appears in our society that we live in that tolerance has become an absolute value in our day. Everything around us is gauged by the word tolerance. Political correctness, medical ethics, public policy. It's all gauged by tolerance. There is one exception, and that probably is best summed up by the words of Bart Rathbone in Odyssey. I will not tolerate the intolerant. If some of you don't listen to Odyssey, then you don't understand that one. But Bart and his political genius came up with, or at least spoke that he would not tolerate the intolerance, the intolerant. But when tolerance becomes an absolute virtue in our minds, then the next step is to begin to affirm tolerance in our minds as an attribute or a characteristic of God. Within the defining parameters of the word tolerance, we'll find another word, forbearance. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, the Scripture tells us that we are to forbear one another. When we look up the word forbearance or forbear, it has within its defining components patience. Patience, perhaps in the face of difficulty or in the face of problems, differences. So then, we would probably come to the conclusion that tolerance surely would be an expression of love. Because if we tolerate people, then we are expressing, in a way, love to those people that maybe grind against us or grind on us. And we all know that the Bible tells us that God is love. We all accept that, don't we? God is a God of love. And so, God must surely be the most tolerant of all, since He is so all-loving, that since He is the definition of love. Let's look just for a second here at His tolerance. Pharisees didn't tolerate the tax collectors, nor did they tolerate sinners. But where do we find Jesus on a regular basis? With tax collectors and sinners. Zacchaeus by name. Matthew, one of His chosen disciples. We find Him eating in the homes of sinners. The Jews didn't tolerate the Samaritans, but Jesus, being a Jew, went out of His way to visit the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob. Are you seeing how tolerant He is? The law said that there would be no toleration for adulteresses, but Jesus said after the accusers left, "Neither do I condemn thee." Then there was the woman that came and washed the feet of Christ with her tears and dried them with her hair and then anointed. And the people that sat around said in their mind, "Doesn't he understand what kind of a person this is?" And in essence, they were saying, "We don't have anything to do with that kind of a person. We are intolerant of them." But we find that Jesus is tolerating them. Now for some, that's all that you'll hear about these stories. And for us, if we have been properly enlightened, stay with me for just a little bit here. If we have been properly enlightened, then we must tolerate and respect everybody and everything, even individual choices, as long as it doesn't harm anyone. But then we can go so far as to say that the word harm is redefined. What is it that is harmful? As long as it doesn't harm anybody or a person. And then we will find that the word person is redefined. Who is a person? That baby that's living inside of a woman may or may not be a person based upon the opinion of the individual carrying that person or fetus. And so harm is irrelevant based upon that person's feelings or choices. Who are we then to decide or to determine what is right and wrong? Who are we to decide what is right and wrong in relationship to family? To define family? Man plus woman equals family. Maybe man plus man equals family. Maybe woman plus woman equals family. Who are we to say? Who are we to decide if one is right or one is wrong? Dean Walt said, "To tolerate someone is to allow the other person to exist unmolested or undisturbed, to peacefully coexist." Simply respecting the personal choices of another. And if you don't respect the personal choices of another, then you are intolerant. and you are supposed to refrain from imposing your personal views and your personal choices on another. And if you do impose your personal views and choices, then you're called a bigot. So we come to this question, is God tolerant? Is God tolerant? If we look at God's Word, the roadmap that He has given to us, what do we find about the tolerance of God? What we will find as we look from cover to cover in God's Word, we will find that the tolerant God is a myth. The myth of the tolerant God is an idol that has been crafted by human hands in the image of personal choice. Sometimes in this world in which we live, in the religious world in which we live, we must add that word religious when we're talking about the society around us. Because America is a religious America. But in a religious society in which we live, we are hearing that Eve is being depicted as a heroine because she rejected the patriarchal oppression of God to determine what was right or wrong for her life, to impose His truth upon her right to choose. According to our culture would define the God of the Bible as being intolerant. We are living in a culture that is supposedly now without sin because people can no longer define sin. One person's sin is another person's choice. And can I step beyond the boundaries this morning and say that the preacher must preach on love and long-suffering and kindness? He cannot mention sin, otherwise he is said to be critical. Otherwise he is said to be mean-spirited or closed-minded. Have you ever been accused of being closed-minded? Oh, come on now, open up your mind and learn a thing or two. We're in a new world. We're in a new society. It's a new generation. Mean-spirited. Going back to a couple of Sundays ago, I wonder what Balaam thought about the imposition that was put upon him. Balak was saying, come on now, don't let anything stand in your way. Open your mind to what I want you to do. Oh, I'm getting in the brush. God requires nothing. God requires nothing is what we hear today. God only blesses, never curses. This God is a myth. The real God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, what did He do? Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 tells us that God flooded the earth and destroyed every living creature except for those, one word, that obeyed. Man. So everybody outside the ark, let's change that word, everybody outside the box. Oh, I believe that we need to think outside the box sometimes. But not when it comes to God. Everybody outside the wooden box, that Noah built died. Everybody that fell outside, that did not enter in through obedience, perished. Why was that? Refresh your memory here a little bit. Go back into Genesis and chapter 6 and think about it for a little bit. Why was it that God destroyed the earth? Because the stench of sin rose up. We don't have to go very much further. Just back on down there to Genesis chapter number 19, and we'll find that this God of the Bible rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. What was the purpose in that? Was he just tired of Sodom and Gomorrah? No, that's not necessarily the case. The case was that the stench of the sin rose up to his nostrils. Isaiah chapter number 3. We find that people, wicked people from Assyria, bad people from Babylon, were used of this God to come and chastise His own people. His own people were chastised by wicked people. Man, that sounds kind of strange. That sounds kind of harsh. Let's go back to the very first family. Genesis chapter number 3. The God of the Bible is the God that told Eve, "Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." The New American Standard Bible puts it right on the line. If you sin, you die. That's pretty plain. Eve, stay away from it. It's that potent. It's that deadly. If you eat or if you touch, if you sin, you will die. This is the true God. The one who became incarnate and gave Himself as a ransom for me and for you. We find that in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. He gave Himself as a ransom. The real God has given a decree of judgment. That judgment is made out on sin or for sin, but He canceled the decree of judgment by nailing it to the cross of Calvary. You know, the cross where Jesus died. The Lamb of God paid the price that we could not pay for a debt that He did not owe. That is real love. The tolerant God who demands nothing and gives everything and calls it love is a worthless lie in the light of a cross. But for those that worship the tolerant God, the cross is offensive. It's become a stumbling block. Now I know this morning that I'm talking to people that are automatically have a wall built up saying, "Well, what does this have to do with me?" Perhaps what it has to do with me is that it very well could be that I am worshiping at the shrine of this tolerant God simply because of my mediocrity in service to Him. Jesus said in the book of Revelation to a group of people something to the effect of cooling off. Just not as zealous as I once was. Just not as on fire as I used to be. Just not as careful as I was at one time. Little things have begun to slip in. Little things that really don't matter because of the world in which we live is so much further than what I still am. Again, for a far-fetched comparison, I can wear tank top and knee-length shorts on the beach in Panama City at spring break and be considered modest. But that still doesn't measure up to modesty according to what God's Word tells me modesty is. So we do not compare ourselves among ourselves. Paul said we are unwise, but we compare ourselves continually by the Word of God. And when our life falls outside of the guidepost or the parameters of God's Word, then we are tempting God in the sense that we believe that He is a tolerant God. You say, is God tolerant in any respect? Yes, God's tolerant. Did you draw breath this morning? Duh. I saw some of the Tishners. I thought they were still Gatlinburg or wherever. Oh, you're back. No, it's just her spirit, they said. Smart Alex. Yeah, I drew breath this morning. I'm still breathing, as a matter of fact, Brother Ziegler. So did other faithful Christians, honest pagans, despicable terrorists, cold-hearted murderers, and vile rapists. They all breathed this morning. Dean Walt said, "Where is the judgment of God? Is it delayed? It is delayed to provide an opportunity for repentance. Justice delayed is not justice denied. Justice delayed is not justice denied. It is merciful tolerance. It's the kind of a God that allows rebellious sinners an opportunity to repent and be saved from the wages of sin. That is an act of supreme tolerance, or could we say supreme forbearance, patience in the face of adversity or problems. But we must not take God's mercy and kindness or His tolerance in this area lightly. We dare not use it as a license to sin. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." Could I change the wording there a little bit? Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." John chapter 3. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." We're not supposed to impose our decisions and our choices and our beliefs on somebody else. We are supposed to keep all of that within sight us. Dean Walt also said that when a person truly believes that their personal choice is absolutely true and that God agrees with them, this necessarily means that all others are absolutely wrong and that God disagrees with them. In fact, God may even disapprove of and dare we speak it, condemn and judge the personal choices of others. To tell someone his personal choice is the subject of God's condemnation is definitely considered an act of intellectual or spiritual violence. John chapter 3 and verse number 18, "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation. It's not from our mouths that comes condemnation. But this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I realize that we don't need to go around stomping our feet all the time, clapping our hands, telling everybody around us how sinful they are and how opposed they are to God's Word. But we cannot tolerate sin. The psalmist David penned some very eye-opening words. In Psalm 19, verse number 12, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." The myth of the tolerant God. Oh yes, God is a God of love. God is a God of compassion and long-suffering, forbearance. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But once again, Paul tells us, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." What does he expect out of us? What does he want out of us? One word. You already know it, don't you? It's obedience. Surrendered obedience to his will, to his word. Does it cut cross grain in the world in which we live? Perhaps more so now than any time in the history that you and I are familiar with. But still, the command from God is for His people to be holy, even as He is holy. Stand with me this morning, please.